God's peace and grace be with you as we gather together on this Ash Wednesday and prepare to share in the season of Lent. I don't know anyone who's excited about being, you know, taking part in Lent. I know we do it every year, and we do so because we recognize its importance, but I don't know anyone who's excited about it all that much. It doesn't sound like a lot of fun when you think about it, and perhaps that's right. Perhaps it's not that much fun. There are three reasons why you are here tonight, or at least I think there are three good reasons why you would be here tonight. One is because you actually believe that one day you will die. One day this mortal body of yours will no longer function as it has in the past, and everyone will get up and look around to find you gone. That's a hard truth. And yet if we seek to be mature believers, we have to accept that truth. One day we will not live. Unless Jesus comes again and snatches us up, and that's a possibility. But there's at least a significant possibility it'll turn out very different. There are a lot of people who left this world in a state of shock or surprise, for they did not believe their time had come. It's good to live from day to day, recognizing that our time on earth is limited. Whether we are young or whether we are old, whether we are rich or whether we are poor, whether we're well educated or whether we're poorly educated, whether we have a famous name or whether our name will likely be forgotten soon after people read our obituary. We are mortal creatures here on earth. One day we will die. The second truth is that we are sinners. That one is probably more easy to accept. I don't think there's anyone here who has never committed any sin whatsoever, even among some of the youngest among us. We recognize that we make mistakes. Sometimes we are willful, sometimes we are stubborn, sometimes we do things that we should not do, sometimes we ignore people and circumstances when we should do something or say something or give something. I think the easiest sin, and the one that we get away with most of the time, is not the sin of commission. It's not the sin of doing something. It's the sin of not doing something. It's the sin of watching and not saying anything and not doing anything and letting and hoping perhaps someone else will do something. And that's a sin. That's a sin. The same as any other sin is a sin. That's a sin too. We recognize that we are sinners. We also recognize that we can't save ourselves. Even if you did good deeds from this point on until the day you died, you couldn't make up for what you've done in the past and what, curiously, you will do while you're trying to do good deeds. Even while you're trying to do good deeds, I can almost assure you, sin will creep into them. Okay, so now we believe that there are two good reasons for being here, recognizing our own mortality and our own sinfulness. What could be the third one? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. The truth is, if you know you're going to die, and if you know that you're a sinner and that you cannot save yourself, what you also recognize, or I hope you recognize, is that you need a savior. You need someone to save you. And I have a suggestion. I suggest perhaps our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think he's a good savior. I think that will solve your problem of looking for a savior. For indeed, he has had all of our sins put upon him and taken them with him to death, and by his blood certainly paid the price for our sins and for the sins of all people of all times. And so we begin Lent in that way, recognizing our own mortality, recognizing our own sinfulness, and recognizing our need for a Savior. And oh, by the way, if you're going to have a Savior, it would probably be a good idea to follow in his path. Because if you don't follow in his path, I'm almost assured that you're going to continue to sin again and perhaps get into worse things. Worse things than you've already been in. Some of us have been in some fairly terrible things. Some of us have been in circumstances that we don't want to share with our neighbor. Some of us have been involved with people who, even though they seem very nice on the outside, have led us astray. We need a Savior. We can't just follow anyone. We can't just wander around like sheep looking for a shepherd. No, we need a shepherd who will lead us. Someone who will take us to himself and carry us, perhaps at times, when we're too weak. Someone whose voice we enjoy hearing. Someone whose voice sounds to us like mercy and forgiveness and love. That's what we begin tonight. In many ways, the ashes which you have upon your forehead mean nothing. They mean nothing. They are nothing and they mean nothing. Unless you believe. They're purely a decoration unless you believe in Jesus Christ. They're purely cosmetic unless he is your personal Lord and Savior. They mean nothing unless you're willing to submit to God's will and follow in the path of Christ. Tomorrow, those ashes, I'm almost sure, will be washed from your foreheads, except for some of you who have really rough skin and it's kind of gotten in and you'll be wearing ashes for at least one more day. Good for you. If you have to wear a cross on your forehead for one more day, good for you. That's not a bad symbol to have. I can't put ashes in your heart, can I? I can't put them in your soul. I can't put them in your mind. They're nothing. They're worthless. They're valueless. They're as close to death as you can get without a smell. As close to death as you can get without a smell. That's why they're the perfect symbol for this evening. They remind us of our mortality. They remind us of our sinfulness. For sin, I think, at times can be pretty dark, pretty rough. Not so pleasant. They remind us of the one who died for our sins. For although he did not wear ashes, he was a humble man, one whom God had sent in our place to bear our sins, to take upon us the sins, to take upon himself the sins of the world, so that we might have life. True life in him and through him. I hope Ash Wednesday leaves a mark on your heart and your soul and your mind, one that doesn't easily wash off with a washcloth and water. Christ has died for our sins. Christ has freed us from eternal condemnation. Christ has given us abundant life now and the hope of another, more blessed life in a world yet to come. Let us strive to follow in his path. Let us put away some of the foolishness of this world. And there is so much foolishness. People are willing to argue over the smallest things. People are willing to raise their fists against one another over things which aren't particularly that important. Even while people are starving, even while people are looking for jobs, even while people cannot receive the medical care they need. My hope for us is that Christ does not come too soon, and that in the time remaining, perhaps we could be worthy to wear a cross upon us, on our foreheads, on the outside, even while we await the cross and crown which Christ has promised to believers when he comes again. May our Lord and Savior strengthen you in your faith. May this time of Lent be a time of reflection and renewal in your lives. May you throw away the things which are worthless and hold on to those things which will be a blessing to you and to those around you. Foolishly, we tend to live with things which cause us harm. Many people live among trash, Not because they like it, but because that's where the only place they can live. And still there's much trash in our life that needs to be gotten rid of. May this time of Lent be a time of cleaning and renewal. May it be a time of uplifting and strengthening. May it be a time of enlightenment and sharing. May the love of Christ be in all your words and deeds. And when you fail, and you will at times, know that God will forgive your sins if you only repent of them, if you only ask for help. The shortest prayer throughout the New Testament is, Jesus, save me. Or if all else fails, save me. Think about that. All of us want to be saved. Christ has promised to save us and has done so through the cross. Let us live lives of salvation, recognizing what we have received, and be willing to share it with others.